Okay, Parshas Nitzavim Vayelech. Mr. Axelrod, Shalom Aleichem. We missed you 2 weeks. Thank you for the pictures. Thank you very much for taking the pictures and for sending the pictures. The other part is my fault. It will be next week. Next week, the article. Rabbi Michal, I want to thank Rabbi Michal. Rabbi Michal, he wrote an article. He wrote a summary of what has happened 2 weeks ago. Yashukach to Rabbi Michal, and again, Yashukach to Mr. Axelrod for taking professional pictures and for posting them in the Flatbush Jewish Journal. Okay, let us learn this parasha. Parashas Nitzav Vayelech. We have two parashios this week. The parasha begins with a reference. There are many Ramazim references to Rosh Hashanah. Parashas Nitzav Vayelech is always read. Nitzav is always read before Rosh Hashanah, and Vayelech is also read before Rosh Hashanah most of the time, except when. When the calendar does not work out, where we need another week before Sukkot, so then we'll have two parashiyos. But the Tzavim is always read before Rosh Hashanah, and we have a Chazal that tells us wherever it says the word Hayom is a reference for Rosh Hashanah. Atem Nitzavim Hayoyim Kulchem. Hayom is Rosh Hashanah. Lifnei Hashem Elokechem, we stand on Rosh Hashanah before Hashem Elokechem, Rosh Shechem, Shetechem. There are exactly 10 groups of people enumerated here in this pasuk. Rosh Shechem. What?
I never understood, because we know Moshe Rabbeinu died in Zion.
Yes.
So, is this literally Rosh Hashanah?
No. There's different dimensions. Moshe is standing here on almost Zayin Adar. But being that we lay in this, the parshios are worked out in such a way where we lay in itself before Rosh Hashanah, it's also for us. There are many dimensions. You can't take any pasuk in the Torah and only one in one facet.
You're laying it
on the last day of the previous year.
So the year, the last Shabbos. So the year's
ending. It's a remez. Whatever you lay in during the week is a remez. What's coming for the next week? Atem nitzavim hayam kuchem on Rosh Hashanah. We stand for Kadosh Baruch Hu. There are 10 different groups of people. And it's just I want to share with you just some ideas that not necessarily Jewish ideas. Pshut Shal Mikra. There are 10 groups. Tabchem, Meshechem, Begercha. Okay, then we have here these last two, which are very bizarre. Mechaytev etzecha ad shayev emecha. From those, the woodchoppers, to the water, the people who draw water. What are these two groups? Okay, we understand this. The Rashaychem, the Shifteichem, the Zignechem, Shadrechem, Kol Ish Yisrael, Tapchem, the Shechem. Everyone here we all can identify. But what does this mean, the woodchoppers and the water drawers? So Rashi says, this refers to the Kenanim. I'm reading Rashi. Melamed shabo kenanim leiskayer bimei Moshe kederach shabo givoinim bimei Yoshua. They tricked Moshe Rabbeinu. They disguised themselves. They said that we're not really from Eretz Kanan. We're from far away. We want to make peace with you. And Moshe made with them a treaty. And then it was discovered that we fooled Moshe Rabbeinu. They were really Kananim, which were supposed to be killed or exiled. And because it would have been the Chilul Hashem, the world would not understand it was public pressure. You think only today there's public pressure? You think today this Mamash Fair Shos, even the time of Moshe, in the very beginning, when Klal Yisrael came into Eretz Yisrael, there was also public pressure. And Klal Yisrael had the right to destroy, to obliterate these people who tricked Klal Yisrael. The Choytev Eitzech on the Shebe Mecha, and due to the UN, they were not able to get away with it, so they had no choice but to make them into second-class citizens. It's a very powerful concept that we shouldn't think that we're dealing with anything that's new. Everything is my Sabo similar bonim.
Just the concept that they fooled Moshe Rabbeinu.
That itself is an amazing thing, that they were able to pull it off. That Moshe Rabbeinu, Moshe the Av Hanavim, was not able to see through what they were doing. It's also an amazing thing how was that possible? That's right, I don't know the answer. But they pulled it off. And they pulled, that's what Rashi says, and they pulled off Moshe, and then Moshe would have killed them. And Moshe couldn't kill them due to public pressure. Kill Hashem, because the world doesn't understand exactly what happened. So he had no choice but to make him into the Chaytzei Veitzech of the Shevi Mech. Okay, I don't want to show you a couple of perushim. What are these two terms? I'm just going to show you to the extremes. Besides the parish of Rashi, the Darshanim, a lot of this comes from the Rishonim, not the Achronim. They translate these words in other ways. One interpretation, Chayte Beit Tzach means people that are devoted to the service of the Beis HaMikdash. Or should we say people that are devoted to the service, the Klei Kodesh, the Rabbeim, the Mechanchim, the Rabbanim, people, ordinary people who serve the community by in spiritual matters. Why are they coined in the term Chayte Beit Tzach? Chayte Beit Tzach literally means people who chop wood. What part of the Beis HaMikdash needed the most work? It was the woodchoppers, because korbanos were offered continuously, 24/7. There were korbanos, and when you bring a korban, what do you need? You need fuel. You need fuel. So the bringing of a korban represents the highest form of service of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. You come close to a Kadosh Baruch Hu by bringing a Kadosh Baruch Hu a carbon. But to bring that carbon, you need a major support structure. You need an enormous amount of wood to or the people that chop the wood are the people that are involved symbolically, metaphorically, in serving Hashem, in being mechanech children and bringing people up to a madrego where they can bring a Kadosh Baruch Hu nachas ruach. The offering of a carbon is a form of satisfaction to Kadosh Baruch Hu. The Chayte Beit Tzach are the melamdim, are the rabbonim, are the mashkichim, are people that are involved in all religious services who are the support service, so that it could happen that there will be an individual, there will be an expression that of nachas ruach before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That is the Chayte Beit Tzach. Who are the Shoyv Meimecha? What part of the avodah of the Beis HaMikdash required the least service? It was the water, drawing of water. Why? Because the only time you needed water was on Sukkot. And how much water would they bring on Sukkot for the Nisach HaMayim? They brought just a teeny amount of water, small amount of water. So in the big picture of things, in the service of the Beis HaMikdash, the chopping of the wood was the most labor-intensive service. The drawing of the water in the picture of the service of Kadosh Baruch Hu, to bring a Kadosh Baruch Hu nachas ruach on Sukkot, was the least labor-intensive service. They need water. They need water to wash the korbanos. To wash the korbanos. But the truth is, the washing of the korbanos is not mamish and avoda. If you would not eat the korbanos, you only need to wash the parts that they ate.
What are
the kir to wash their hands. Okay, you make a good point. That's a prerequisite in order to do the avoda. It's not actually it's not something which actually is part of the avoda. All of those things, the washing of the korbanos and the washing of your hand in preparation, those are prerequisites to do the avoda. The cutting of the wood is something which actually goes on the mizbech itself, which actually serves to offer the korban before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So it's closer. And Echanami, they're both part, and that's what we want to make the extreme. That's what we want to make over here. Everyone in Klal Yisrael, whether you are from the Roshechem, the Shivtechem, the Zignechem, the Zeshatrechem, Kol Ish Yisrael, Tabchem, everyone has a part in serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in coming close to that moment in time when the Hashem will have Nachas Ruach. And everyone has different degree of participation. Some people are on the front lines. It's labor intensive service. The Chayte Beit Tzach was the most labor intensive part of the support system for the Beis HaMikdash. And then to the other extreme, where you're not coming directly in contact with the fire of the Mizbech, you are more distant, you're just doing things which are prerequisites for the Kiyar to draw the water, or for the Nisach HaMayim. It's not as labor intensive. Or a different extreme. But everyone is included in this broad category of people that are participating towards giving a Kadosh Baruch Hu nachas ruach, and a Kadosh Baruch Hu appreciates that, and you all stand before a Kadosh Baruch Hu, and Hashem sees it. Hashem sees your avodah. Yes. So another question? Yes. Okay. Okay, now another extreme. Now this part, this idea I really like. I like very much. On Rosh Hashanah, we have the word cutting of the wood. What's cutting of the wood? Eitz is what is a hayesh eitz im ayin. Ki ha'odam eitz hasadeh. A person is a tree. And a tree, a good tree. When they came to spawn on Eretz Yisrael, the Meraglim, Moshe asked them, is there a person who is a tzaddik that's nagin on the dar? Unfortunately, we have in this generation We have in every generation, there are always people that are looking for trouble. They're always looking to cut down the trees. This is not my part. They're always coming to find chesronos in good people. Unfortunately, that's the way the world goes. There are people that are good people, and there are always people trying to find skeletons. They are what we call the choytev eitzecha. The eitz is hanyesh eitz im ayin, and eitz ki adam eitz asada. The people that are coming to chop down the trees. The shoyev meinecha is a term which is used to describe people shosa batzoma divrehem. Permission, Perkei Avos. When it comes to Talmidei Chachamim, drink with thirst. Be shoyev the words of Torah that come out of the mouths of Talmidei Chachamim. So here it says, when it comes to Rosh Hashanah, everyone stands before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Whether you're a good guy or you're a bad guy. All the people of Klal Yisrael, the Roshechem, Shiftechem, the Taf, the Noshem, the Kol Yish Yisrael, from Mikotze El HaKotze. Whether you're from the bloggers, you're from the Choytev Eitzecha, the people who are trying to chop down the good trees, all the way to the people, the Talmidei Chachamim, who are Shosa, Batsoma, Devreyam, who are Shoyev, the Mayim, from the Talmidei Chachamim, everyone stands before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay, let's go to another idea. We have here, in this week's parish, some very scary stuff. We have a mention of Gofis, Vamelach, Shrev, Cholarza. Let me go back to the Pasuk. The Pasuk says that if Chas V'Shalom, there will be Penyesh, Bochem, Ish, O Isha, Yit Mishpach, O Shevet, Asher Levavoyf, and Ayim Yerim Shemotecha, Leleches, La'avoyd, Es Elohei HaGoyim Hohem, people who worship Avodah Zarah, Penyesh, Bochem, Shoresh, Poyre Rosh, V'la'anah. Okay, and it goes on to say, what's going to happen? Terrible things. Lo yoyveh Hashem, Selo yachloi. Ki oz yeshan af Hashem, V'kina sabu yishahu. V'rov sabu kol ho'olak suba sefa hazeh. And it goes on to say, U'mocho Hashem, Eshmo mitachas Hashemoyim. V'hidlo Hashem l'ro, v'chulu v'chulu. V'omar hadoha acharon. V'ro, they're going to see the makoy, sorry, sahib, yes, tachalu echo. Gofris v'melach, sreifu chol artsa. All of these horrible things. V'yamru kol hagim al meos Hashem kochel laaretz azos smech choriyaf agelazeh v'chulu v'chulu. Okay, so the question over here is: this is mamish teichacha. This is terrible klolos, terrible curses that are appearing here in this week's parsha. What Chazal told us that in last week in Parshas Kisavo we have the teichacha, and the reason why we learn the teichacha before Rosh Hashanah is tich leshana. The year shown all the costs. And the question is, so why don't we have Rosh Hashanah right after Parshas Kisavo? Tich leshana v'kilosecha. Why do we have to have another Parsha of Nitzavim v'yelech before Rosh Hashanah? The answer is, well, we don't want mamish go from Klala into Rosh Hashanah. You want to have at least a small break. Even though we have this very interesting concept that tich leshana v'kilosecha, the year shown all the klolos, but that shouldn't be the last thing. You don't want to end up with a bitter note. You want to end up on a positive note. So you have to have a buffer. The buffer will be one parsha of Nitzav Vayelech, which does not deal with klola whatsoever. It's clean. It's a clean parsha. And that will serve as a positive note, a buffer between the klolos and the Rosh Hashanah. The problem is, but it's not true. Because in parshas Nitzav Vayelech, indeed we do have a long series of klolos. So why do Chazal also, why do they tell us that the only teicha is parshas Kisavo when there's a ganz shtick, there's a whole parsha here of klol and parshas Nitzav Vayelech? So I saw an answer, a very powerful answer, and I think it's a very powerful liman mussar in life. The answer is the very big fundamental difference of the way the Torah describes the teicha and parshas Nitzav Vayelech and the teicha and parshas in the Kisavo. In parshas Kisavo, the entire teicha is meloshon osit. That if you don't behave and you worship with the Zara, then this will happen. This will happen. It's three columns. You know, the Teicha, last week's Parsha, it's a long Teicha. You gotta sit pretty during Kriya Satara to go through that entirely. Every single thing there that's mentioned, everything is mentioned, Beloshon Osid. All of these things will happen. Here, the Parsha begins. Hashem's not going to forgive the person. Hashem's going to bring upon him the Klala. And then it switches into the past tense. It introduced this whole concept, V'omar hador ha'achron. The later generation, when they witness these terrible things, they're going to say, Ma'osu Hashem, why did Hashem do this? Why did Hashem bring upon them Gofris, Samelach, Shevach, Al-Aretzah? The bulk of the Toichacha in Parshas Nitzavim is written B'loshon Ovar, in the past tense, from the perspective of someone who has witnessed what has happened in the past. Torah is very delicate. It's telling us, don't misbehave. Because if you misbehave, there's going to be terrible things are going to happen. And then the next generation will look back and will say, wow, look at this terrible thing that happened. And you don't want to be part of that. You don't want to be part of that process, that sequence of events. But the way the Torah describes it is in the past tense. So the Bali Musa said the following. They said an amazing idea. When you look back in the past and things did not go according to plan, you have no right to say it was a curse. Looking forward, as a warning, don't misbehave. Because if you misbehave, A, B, and C are going to happen. That's a curse. Curse is only the future. If it has not yet happened, it can be called a curse. But after something already happens, let bygones be bygones. Don't dwell on the negative. Look at the positive lessons to be learned from the tragedy that has happened. Don't look back in the past as we were cursed. The curse was, and therefore, you know what? Let's just call it quits. In every difficult situation, there's always a silver lining. You have to figure out what it is. There's always a lesson. There's always something to look at and to use it as a springboard to improve and to be positive. Parashas Nitzavim is the past tense. Even though the words are very frightening, all these things that it says here are really off the charts, but being that it's the past tense, it's not considered to be, we're learning about toichacha, we're learning about klala. Because in life, you don't do that. It was, it was. Whatever was, was. You can't change the past. You can't relive the past. There's nothing you can do about it. Whatever happened, happened. Just at least look back at the past to use it as a springboard for a better future. That's not called Teichach. In Parashas Kisavo, where at Pasuk is, every single Pasuk in Kisavo is written B'loshon Osid, like Kadosh Baruch Hu's warning, watch out. You misbehave. This will happen. This will happen. It didn't happen yet. Oh, that's something that you don't want to end off with. You don't want to end off the. You don't want to go into the year, into the new year, with a taste of klala in your hand. That's not the way you come to Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah, you come with a positive. It's going to be a good year. Everything is going to be fine and good. Listen, this teicha. You have to go and you have to learn Musar. You have to learn Musar. You're going to be warned. Okay, so we'll be warned 2 weeks ago. By the time we get to Rosh Hashanah, the effect will wear off on us, and we will be positive. Oh, but Parashas Nitzavim. We have all these horrible things. That's not. We're not looking at it from the future, this is going to happen. We're looking at these things backwards. When you look at it backwards, in life you don't say it was a curse. You say what happened, happened, and let's use it as a springboard to improve upon ourselves. Okay, that I believe is a very powerful limud mussar. Okay, now we go to another idea in these parashas, a very nice Rashi. Rashi here begins with telling us about Parnes l'Parnes. First Rashi in Parashas Nitzavim tells us, not the first Rashi, let me find the Atem Nitzavim. It's a little bit down. You have to go down a couple of Rashi's. Rashi repeats the parasha a second time. Lefi shahayu Yisrael yoitzin mi parnes leparnes mi Moshe liYoshua. Moshe was handing over the reins of leadership to Yoshua. Lefi chok, therefore asa oisa matseva. He told Klal Yisrael to stand. Everyone should come and be present at this ceremony, the inaugural ceremony of Yehoshua, where Moshe transfers leadership, his leadership role to Yehoshua. Kidei Lazarzam, to warn them. V'chein also Yehoshua. Yehoshua did the same thing when he died. V'chein Shmuel. Hisyatsu v'yishofeta etchem. Come, let me judge you. Kishayatsu miyadu v'nitnasu liyadu shal shal. When Shmuel gave over his authority to Shal. So we have over here this idea of the transfer of leadership. Now, it's not a coincidence that this idea, Atem Nitzavim Hayom, Rashi says, makes this comment, you're standing here when I'm transferring my authority from myself to Yehoshua, Hayom, on this very day. And as we mentioned a few moments ago, Hayom refers as a reference to Rosh Hashanah. This Shabbos, or Rosh Hashanah, what is happening? We're going from the previous year to the next year. Miparnes leparnes. Each year has its mazel, its hashkocha. It's a different year. It's a different hashkocha. The way HaKadosh Baruch Hu deals with us last year, the previous year, versus the coming year. And the Bali Musa says something much more powerful, much more frightening. Moshe Rabbeinu, we know, was compared to the sun. Yeshua is compared to the moon. Pnei Moshe kepnei Chama, Yeshua kepnei Levana. The Levana relative to the Shemesh is Pogum. The Levana is we mispalel that Hakadosh Baruch Hu and Mashiach Kol Lemalis Pigimas HaLevana. There's a deficiency in the Levana. The two Ma'oros HaGedolim appeared at the time of Ma'aseh Bereishis. The Levana complained, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, L'chi ma'ati es atzmech, diminish yourself. That diminishment was a pigima in the koyach of the Levana. Yehoshua is pogum, was deficient k'neged Moshe Rabbeinu. So this, the Bali Musa tells us, is that there's such a frightening concept called Niskatnu Hadoros. Every generation, our sensitivity towards Yirah Shamayim, towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu, becomes a little bit more dulled than the previous year. That transfer, that dullness, happens on Rosh Hashanah. That's really what's happening. This year, relative to the next year, it's a very frightening concept, it's a mitzias. This year, we're still holding Pnei Chama. Next year, after Rosh Hashanah, it's going to be 1 year further away from Matan Torah, the time when HaKadosh Baruch Hu revealed Himself. It's another step down from Matan Torah. The challenge of Yirah Shamayim is greater. It's just like we go, just like here, Hayom, when Moshe Rabbeinu is giving over the leadership, Min Parnes L'Parnes, Min Moshe L'Yoshua, and Yeshua is K'pnei Levana, is considered to be Pogum, K'neged Moshe, K'pnei Hachama. To a certain degree, that's what's happening when we go from Rosh Hashanah, from 1 year to the next year. When we make that transfer, Miparnes Leparnes, we're going from a Tkufa, a time in history that was closer to Matan Torah, closer to a time where HaKadosh Baruch Hu revealed Himself to the entire world, to a generation that's further away from that moment in time when the sensitivity is not as great. Therefore, on Rosh Hashanah, you have to salvage, you have to seize that moment. Atem nitzavim. You have to stop. It's not, the cause is not lost. Just because there is this natural tendency, Rosh Hashanah is a zman of nitzavim. Nitzavim means stop. Stop and reflect. Absorb. Take with you the accomplishments, your spiritual accomplishments of the past year, and hold on to it and bring it with you into the next year. When Moshe Rabbeinu is dying and he's giving over leadership to Yehoshua, he's not telling them, listen, now everything is lost. You remember me. Everything that I've given you is with you. You're just going to have a new leader. The new leader is not going to be the same level as the old leader, but you have the memories. You have the experience. Right now, stand, reflect, concentrate, absorb what I have given you and take that with you into the next generation, and you'll be there, you'll be okay. just because the leadership, you're going into a tkuva where it's not going to be, the leadership won't be as powerful, but that does not mean that anything will change, will be different for you, because you still have this, these memories and this experience from the past. That is the avodah of Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah is a time to take inventory. Don't just let it slide into the next year. If you let it slide into the next year, by the time you blink, you wake up, now you're in a tkufa where you're further away from where you started and you don't have that sensitivity. But if you only would be in a state of atem nitzavim, where you'll stop and take a break and reflect and meditate upon what you have taken, what you have accomplished in the past year, you'll be able to bring that into the next year.
Rabbi, I have a friend in many steps who quotes in the name of the Lubavitcher Rebbe.
Yeah.
A sikh or a something like that. He says Nitzavim and
Vayelech,
like two aspects.
Yeah, you have two different parts. One to stand and the other is to go, to travel.
Right.
So different idea, right?
Not only be keeping what you have,
but prepare to go into the next, to go into the next generation. You have two different concepts. Nitzavim and Vayelech is a beautiful idea. In two things you have to focus on Rosh Hashanah. You have to take with you what from the past, but you have to also plan for the future to go further into the next year.
Yitzavim, wherever you are, if you're not going to do a Vayelech, if you're not going to be the Kavod HaChochma,
you got to go.
You're going to be
go backwards.
You go to Ksil. You're not going back. If you don't move forwards,
you're Ksil. Okay. Okay, you mentioned also, speak about this. There are two different parties, Nitzavim Vayelech. So the first one say that they make note of something very interesting. We know we have a tradition. There are certain sections of the Torah that are out of order. There are parshios, different sections. But ruba derubo, when you go through the Torah, each parsha in itself, the entire parsha, is in order. There may be in complete parshios different subsections that are out of order, but the whole parsha is in order. There's one exception. The entire parsha of Vayelech, according to many commentators, is completely out of order. Everything that it records historically, chronologically, in Vayelech belongs after Parshas Hazinu. It really should have been Parshas Nitzavim, Parshas Hazinu, and then after Parshas Hazinu, Vayelech Moshe, Vaydaber es Hadvon Mo Elul Kol Yisrael, referring to Hazinu, and he goes on to say, Vayim Olem Ben Meir Vayeshem Shon Anochi Hayom Lucha V'lo Tzeis V'lovoi, V'Hashem Amar Elai. You read through the Pesukim, it doesn't make any sense. Hazinu, Moshe Rabbeinu is still giving a drasha. He's still, you know, he's still talking. He's not winding down. Vayelech belongs after Parshas Hazinu. So why then did Moshe, when he recorded the Torah, what's the Hashkacha Pratis in that the entire Vayelech was taken from after Hazinu, put before Hazinu, and now when it comes before Rosh Hashanah, we're learning Nitzavim Vayelech instead of learning Nitzavim and Hazinu. So there are many different answers. One answer is, that's exactly what we're trying to do on Rosh Hashanah, Erev Rosh Hashanah. We're trying, on this last week, in this week's parasha, the last parasha, we're aggressive. Here we are, it's the last week of the year. On Wednesday is Erev Rosh Hashanah. Okay, Thursday is the first day of Rosh Hashanah. We're already connecting this year to the next year. It's like when you make a siyum, the satan is mekatreg. You just can't finish off this book. You have to right away start the next Seder Halimut. That is exactly what we're doing on this week's parsha. Vayelech was really meant to be read after Rosh Hashanah. The way we break up the parsha, Atem Nitzavim Hayoim. Hayoim is Rosh Hashanah. It's always before Rosh Hashanah. The next parsha would have been Hazinu. And then after Hazinu would come Parshas Vayelech, which would be read the following year, after Rosh Hashanah. We're chapping. We're learning Nitzavim, and we're jumping time. We're conquering time. We're going ahead in time to Parshas Vayelech, and we're bringing that into this year. Because just like when you make a sim, you don't want to stop. You want to keep on going. You have to continue the momentum. The bracha that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given us in this year, that has granted us life. Baruch Hashem, we survived the year. We're all here to talk about it. This chef of bracha that we have experienced, we want to bring with us into the next year. So we chaparain and we skip parshios. We bypass Hazinu, we run into Vayelech, which is Shaykh to the next year, and we already pull it into this year to continue the flow of Brach into the following year. That's one idea. Another idea which borders upon this idea is to bring out the point that Hazinu is a concentrated form of Kol Torah Kula. Hazinu is called the Shira. V'yata kis v'lechem es ha-shira hazos v'lamda es meishol sima b'fihem. So what is the Shira? According to many commentators, the Shira is the entire Torah, but the Shira is also Parshas Hazinu. How could the Shira be called Parshas Hazinu and also be called the entire Torah? To teach you that Hazinu is Shokol Keneged Kol HaTorah Kula. Hazinu is a synopsis. It is a concentrated synopsis of Kol HaTorah Kula. It's also the history of the world. There are many midrashim which try to show that in Parash Hazinu, it's coded the entire DNA of this world. What's the deeper message? That Torah is Nitzchi. Every parasha occupies not only space, but time. We lay in a parasha every week. We lay in Parashas Nitzavim for the fifth coming week. When the Torah begins fresh, Parashas Bereishis is for 1 week. Every parasha, the events that happen during the week in the world are always hinted to in the parasha of the week. There's one exception. The exception is Parashas Hazinu. Hazinu is lemala min hazman. Being that Hazinu is a synopsis of Kol HaTorah Kula, and the MS, Kol HaTorah Kula is nitzri, it's lemala min hazman, so at least the synopsis of Kol HaTorah Kula, which is captured in Hazinu, is lemala min hazman. It can't be defined in time. That is why we go from Parashas Nitzavim, and we skip. We go to Parshas Vayelech. We're basically skipping over what belongs next. What belongs next? Hazinu. Where was Hazinu? Oh, we'll read it next week. But every parish occupies space and time. How could it just disappear? That's exactly the point. Hazinu is lemalam and hazman. It doesn't just represent a specific week or 2 weeks, 1 week in time. It encompasses all of time. A third idea. Now this idea I enjoy very much. There's another reason why we take Parash Vayelech and we skip. We bring it back 1 week. Because we want to be Samech Parash Vayelech to the last Pasuk in Parashas Nitzavim. This is a very powerful Limud Musar of what life is all about. Life is all about L'ahavos Hashem Elokecha, the last Pasuk in Parashas Nitzavim, L'shmoya B'koiloi, U'ledovko Bo'etekliv to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ki Hu Chayech HaVeyoch Yamecha, L'sheves Al Hu Adama Asher, here are the key words, Nishba Hashem La'avosecha, L'Avraham, L'Yitzchak, U'liyakov L'osei Slohem. The end of Parashas Nitzavim ends with the Avos. The Shavua, Hashem promised the Avos, is going to give them Eretz Yisrael, and everything that comes along with that. And then we should have read Parashas Hazinu, but instead we took Vayelech and connected it to Nitzavim to say, now when Moshe Rabbeinu dies, he's going to say in Pasuk Beis Vayelech, Vayim Aleihem, I'm 120 years old, I can't go in and out anymore, I have to die, my time is up, I'm leaving. Vayelech Moshe, but the Pasuk before that says Moshe went. Who did Moshe go to? Moshe went to the Avos. In other words, Moshe read about Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, Vayelech Moshe. I'm one of them. This is the message. There are many messages here, but one of the things that Nitzavim is the message for Rosh Hashanah, Atem Nitzavim Hayom, and the end of this parsha, which is the Musar for Rosh Hashanah, is the Avos. And Moshe says, you want to be safe? All you have to do is hang on to the coattails of the Avos. V'zoicher chastei avos umevi goyel levnei v'neim l'man shmo b'yava. The first complaint, what? Vayelech, Moshe was going both in his death toward the Avos. Or more picture, Moshe very much wanted to connect to the Avos. We know you don't get this sense in the Torah. When you learn the Torah, the sense is there are two different worlds. There are the Avos, and there's Moshe. They're two passing ships. They don't connect. Moshe, when he was mispel for Klal Yisrael, he said Zuchor li Avraham li Yitzchak li Yaakov. He asked Hashem to remember the Zuchos Avos. But you don't get the sense that Moshe's part is together with the Avos. And why is this so? Because this was the first complaint Hashem had against Moshe. When Hashem recruited Moshe Rabbeinu, Moshe complained. I don't want to do this. How do I know? What zechus do they have? Is Klal Yisrael really up to it? And Hashem says, Chaval, chaval. Va'era el ha'avos bekel shakai. Ushmi Hashem lo nedati lohem. When I appeared to the avos, it was bekel shakai. Moshe Rabbeinu, it's taka true. You have no shaykhis to the avos. You're a lost cause. This is the first thing Hashem said to Moshe Rabbeinu. You're no match for the Avos. The Avos, I didn't fulfill my promises. To them, it was just Shakai. Sha'omar, le'olam o'idai. I made promises. I never fulfilled any promise. And they had in me a emunah pshuta. You, Moshe Rabbeinu, the first thing is, how do I know? Give me guarantees. What's your name? Give me guarantees. Give me proof. Give me signs. Hashem says, Moshe, it's chaval. Rashi's words, chaval al diovdin. Hashem says, chaval to me. I don't have a niskadnu hadoros. Moshe Rabbeinu now is about to die. And Moshe Rabbeinu says, it took me 120 years, but I made it. I made it. Vayelech Moshe. Moshe Rabbeinu, he wrote the Torah. And Moshe Rabbeinu was supposed to write Parshas Hazinu after Parshas Nitzavim. That's what it was supposed to be. Moshe went out of his way to take Parshas Vayelech and write it after, out of order so he can say, Vayelech Moshe. Moshe went right next to where it says, Avraham Yitzchak the Yaakov, next to the Avos, because this bothered Moshe his whole life. Hashem's complaint, you're not the Avos. You didn't make it. Moshe at the end of his life says, I made it. I did make it. How do we know Moshe indeed made it? Hashem said to Moshe, and Moshe wanted to see the tefillin of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hashem said to Hareinu as Kavoidecha, let me see your Kavoidecha. Hashem says, you'll stand on the rock. Uri'isa es achorai uponai lo yeira'u. What are the letters of tefillin? Shakai. Shakai, the Shin Shal Tfilin. Moshe saw the Dalit, and the Tfilin Shal Yad is the Yud. Moshe Rabbeinu, he was shown, he was not able to see the Shin, but Moshe Rabbeinu was able to see the Dalit, but the Dalit is part of the Shem Hashem. To some degree, Moshe Rabbeinu, it was revealed to him the Shem Shakai. On a much deeper level, now the Tfilin Kodesh Baruch Hu, it bothered Moshe. And therefore, from the time of his death, he's making a statement in the way he's writing the psukim. I feel, to some degree, through my life work, I can now connect. I can now go vayelech Moshe in my death. I can go to the Avos and say, I've done, I've come to you on Madrega, at least to some degree. And the Musar for us is, when we come on Rosh Hashanah, Tem Nitzavim Hayom, to go in the way of Moshe. We live in a world of Yudke Vavke. We're always demanding things, entitlements, and signs, and segulas. But the Musar is, you want to play it safe, just go in the ways of your forefathers. Vayelech Moshe, be like Moshe who went after the Avos. Elokei Avram, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov. And that is the ultimate, that is the safest thing we can do to prevail, succeed on the Yom HaDin. Yeah.
So what it looks like what you're saying is there was the
Yeridus Adoros
also between the
Avos. Absolutely. Hashem said it, Beferish. Chaval al Diavdin.
Immediately afterwards.
After Moshe Rabbeinu, he restored that Madrega to some degree. That's what it's hinting to in this idea of connecting. So the three ideas we presented. Vayelech, the Yisod is, Vayelech is an entire parasha that doesn't belong here. It belongs after Hazinu. And the point is, Hazinu is timeless. It can't be put in terms of time. We have to remove it. Or we have to say we want to chaperein, like a sim hamasechta. We chaperein into the next year. It's shaykh to the next year. Next year, we want to connect the circle. Or we want to also bring out this point of Moshe, he's connecting himself to the Avos. Okay, another idea. We have also this week's parasha, the last mitzvah in the Torah, the mitzvah of And the purpose of writing the Torah is v'lamida es b'nei Yisrael sima b'fiyam. The purpose is not to write a sefer Torah. When you write a sefer Torah, when you know you ever go to hachnas sefer Torah, they don't make a shechianu when they do hachnas sefer Torah. Why not? It's not the end. It's just the beginning. The purpose of writing the Sefer Torah is to now, you can learn what it says in the Sefer Torah. Writing the Sefer Torah is a new beginning to learn Torah. What is the first mitzvah of the Torah? Peru Urevu. So Rabbi Moshe Wolfson in a Sefer, Emunah Sitachi, has a very beautiful idea. The way at least the way I'm presenting the idea, it's not exactly what he says, but there is a... there's a very big debate. We spoke about this many times. There's a very big debate among the modern day thinkers. What is the secret to Jewish continuity? Is it mitzvos? Is it the study of Torah? Is it birthright? Eretz Yisrael? What is the secret to the fact that Klal Yisrael is here and strong? The Netzach Yisrael lo yishaker. Whereas in the secular world, nations come and go. They're long gone. Ancient Rome is long gone. Greece and Babylon, and Babel and Modai, Parah, they're all gone. Klal Yisrael, the Netzach, what is the secret to the success of Klal Yisrael? Okay, so many people will tell you what they think, but among B'nai Torah, the Yisoid is Talmud Torah. The secret to Jewish continuity is Jewish education. Jewish education. And Wolfson says that idea is expressed here in the Torah. Because we all know that there's something called connecting the end of the Torah to the beginning of the Torah. It's not just in letters and in words, but it's also in mitzvahs. The first mitzvah is Peru Urevu. Multiply, increase, make sure that you continue to exist. You perpetuate your existence in this world. How? Nations have come and gone. How are you Peru Urevu? The end of the Torah is Kisvu Lechem Es Hashira Hazois. Make sure it's Jewish. V'lamida Es B'nei Yisrael Sima B'fihem. Put the Torah in their mouth. Talmud Torah, the teaching of the Torah, is the ultimate tool, the ultimate trick to guarantee Peru Urevu. Klal Yisrael will multiply, will increase, they will be a Jewish nation, there will be a Jewish continuity. And he says an amazing idea by Wolfson to prove the point. There is only one, among Ashkenazim and Sfaradim, among us, there is only one doubt, there's only one word in the Torah where we are not sure about. And there's a difference, besides the Vavs and the Yuds is not an issue, Moli v'chasar, but there's one spelling which is problematic, which we don't have clarity. Pitsua Daka. It's the word Daka spelled with an Aleph or spelled with an Hey. There's a difference among Ashkenazim and Svardim, with the only exception, even among the group of Ashkenazim, which includes Hasidim, not talking about real Ashkenaz, Lubavitch, they follow the custom of Svardim, they spell Pitsua Daka, I believe, with an Aleph instead of a Hey. They're the only exception. So he said, Wilson says, look at this. What does Pitsua Daka mean? It means a person who can't have children. A person that cannot fulfill a Pitsua Daka means a person whose testicles are not functional. Pitsua Daka, Parshas Kiseitse. And that, Hashkocha Pratis, Pitsua Daka is a person, Pitsua Daka is a person that cannot be Mekayim Peru Urevu. Kadabi Mekayim Peru Urevu. So you see that Peru Urevu in the inyan of Pitsua Daka, Peru Urevu is where there's a sophic Kisvu Lechem Es Hashira Hazos. Why did it, in the midst of Kisvu Lechem Es Hashira Hazos, represents Talmud Torah in its greatest form? Why did it happen that if there's a word that we're not sure of spelling, if it had to be such a hashkacha pratis to express that there's a kitroik among the umos ha'olam, that Klal Yisrael should come to an end in the Talmud, in the ksivas ha'Torah, in the writing of the Torah, it should happen specifically in a pasuk that prevents there from being Peru Urevu. What's the chances? Obviously, there's a very great hashkocha in this. It's saying it's exactly the point that ksivas has Torah, which means writing a Sefer Torah, which is for the purpose of learning a Sefer Torah, is the ultimate guarantee that there will be Peru Urevu. if there's going to be a chasaron in Talmud Torah, then Rachman Litzon will be like the nations of the world, where Rachman Litzon and the approval will come to an end. The fact that this spelling mistake, this pigima in Ksiva Satara, which is a pigima in Talmud Torah, comes out in an inyan of causing there in an inyan of a sugya of Pru Revu, is an indication how these two are so intertwined. Talmud Torah is the antidote towards Ksiva Satara, which is the purpose of writing. The learning Torah will be the guarantee that they will always be in Klal Yisrael. Peru or Revu. Okay, let's go to another quick, just a short little idea, a short little Musar idea. In the beginning of Parashas Nitzav, it says that they saw that the Bnei Yisrael, they came into Eretz Canaan and they saw as Gilulehem, Eitz for Evan, Kesev Vizahov. Where is the Pasuk? Okay, the beginning of Parashas Nitzavim, you come into the land and you're going right before?
Right before
Revihi. Vayicha vayit hanistaros vayelchu vayid lachem avayashach v'lohem okay, where are we for? I'm looking for, here, they got it. Vatiresh, Pasuk Tezayin. Pasuk Tezayin. Ki atem yidatem, eis asher yishan b'yaretz mitzrayim, esher yivad v'yaretz kerev aglim esher v'artem. It's a short word. Vatiru es shikut sehem, v'yis giulihem. Disgusting things. Eitz for Evan, wood and stone, kesev v'zahav asheri mohem. The Balei Musa say, when you start out doing an Avera, it's first is disgusting. Shikut sehem. Ich, what an abomination. But once you do it a few times, it's not so bad. It's just Eitz for Evan. It's a piece of wood. And when you keep on doing it more and more, nasa lo kemitzvah, kesev v'zahav. It turns into gold and silver. Person has to be careful not to slip down the slippery slope. It's what starts out as a shiklutz, turns into eights, the sequence of the sukkim, eights for Evan, and that then will turn into kesev v'zahav asher imohem. Along those lines, there's another, we have here in the midst of tshuva, ki ha-mitzvah ha-zois, towards the end of parashas nitzavim m'shishi, asher nochi mitzav chayom lo nifleisim m'mchov lo yuchokim ma'od lo yvashamayim yilemar, niyalalanu ha-shamayim v'yikochen alanu v'yashmin lo nasim nasena, v'lo me'evel ayam hi, miyavolanu, Ki koroi ve'elecha hadavar me'oi b'ficha uvilvavcha la'asayis. So the question is, what are we referring to? What is in ki ha-mitzvah hazos? So if you look in any sefer on Chumash, I'll tell you there's a fundamental machlekes between Rashi and the Ramban. The two ikar parshanim of the Torah. The Rashi says, ki ha-mitzvah hazos, even though it's written b'loshon yachid, it refers to Taryag mitzvos. And we refer to Taryag mitzvos as one single mitzvah. All of the mitzvos, no one should say it's too difficult. It's bashamayim. We need a Navi to go to Shamayim and tell us how to do the mitzvah. Or we have to go le'ever hayam. Ki koroi ve'lecha dova ma'od b'fichu v'vavcho la'asaysay. The Ramban disagrees with Rashi. If Rashi was correct, he should say ki kol ha-mitzvah. It's not ki ha-mitzvah. Instead, it refers to the mitzvah of tshuva. The midst of doing tshuva, the coming close towards the Kodesh Baruch Hu. What do we take out of Rashi and the Ramban? That Elu v'Elu divrei Elokim Chayim, the mitzvah of tshuva, the message over here before we come to Rosh Hashanah, is shakol keneged kol ha-mitzvos. Besides, of course, you have Shabbos, Avodah Zarah, there are different examples which are explicit in the Torah, which are shakol keneged kol ha-mitzvos, but those are mitzvos. But tshuva is not a mitzvah. I mean, it's a mitzvah, but it's a mitzvah which touches upon every mitzvah. Doing tshuva, coming before Kodesh Baruch Hu on Rosh Hashanah, demands of us we do tshuva. The tshuva that we do brings with it all of the mitzvahs of the Torah. Rashi and Ramban don't really argue. They're just presenting two sides of the same idea.
Rabbi, I heard a beautiful quote this morning.
Yes.
The rabbi gave in shul, he said, you know, it's known that we say that if you open up a Pesach Shel Machas, right?
Yeah.
The opening is small as the eye of a needle.
Pischa shel ulam.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, exactly, right?
You open up a Pesach shel machad, v'ani eftach lechem pischa shel ulam.
So what he said was, so we know that this Pesach is very, very small. It's minuscule. But it goes all the way through.
And if you penetrate all the way through, that's all you have to do. All you have to do is go all the way through, the HaKadosh Baruch Hu will grant you assistance, Pesachim lo, to make a Pesach shel Elul. Very, very nice. Okay, and one other, okay, another few verses, some of the short little verses. This word, I actually, hit me hard, this word. We have the midst of Hakel, in this week's parasha. Vayitzav Moshe Yisam Leimor Mikeit Sheva Hashmim B'moid Shnas Hashmita B'chag HaSukos. There's a midst of Hakel. Okay, very good. Now, if you're writing the pasuk, what do you do at the time of Hakel? What is the event? The melech sits down, sits in the azar, and he reads Mishneh Torah, and the whole Klal Yisrael comes. How do they fit the whole Klal Yisrael into the azar? The azar is not much bigger than this room. How do you fit over there millions of people? It was a miracle, whatever it was. If you were writing the Torah, what order would you write the pasuk? You would first write Hakel Asam, Yad the men, Choanoshim v'Hanoshim v'Ataf v'Ger Hashem b'Kibusharecha. Okay, and then you would say, after everyone is gathered together, you would go back in the Pesukim, you would say, if we were writing the Torah, we would first go do the logistics. Before you have an event, you call up the police, you call up all the machas, all the genius machas, to buy for us an arena, to rent an arena, and to make signs and advertisements, to do marketing, and to do polling, and to figure out who the speakers are, set up an auction, what? The photographer has to be hired. Before, when you plan an event, the first thing are the logistics. After the logistics are planned, then you can proceed and do what you need to do then. So if we were writing the pasuk, we would first say, okay, Hakel Esa'am, let's get everyone there. Let's get buses and planes and transportation and the hotels and tents and the photographer, everyone ready. And then, when everything is all done, then Tikra Es HaTorah Hazos, then we'll read the Torah, Neged Kol Yisrael B'Yosneha. Isn't that what you would expect of how the Pesukim should have been ordered? That's how we would write the Pesuk. But that's not what it says. It says first, it's Shavuos, Bevo Kol Yisrael, Tikra, you shall read Es HaTorah Hazos Neged Kol Yisrael B'Yosneha. And then it says, start planning. The psukim are out of order. So the Baal Nosis says something very powerful. It's so true in life. When it comes to learning Torah, if you're first going to start planning logistics, you'll never go to a shir. If you start to say to yourself, how am I going to get to the shir? How am I going to get home from the shir? How is it going to go interfere with my schedule? When am I going to eat lunch? When am I going to eat dinner? I have to plan. If the first thing on your mind are the logistics, how it's going to fit into your schedule, you'll never ever go to the shir. The attitude of Tikra Es HaTorah Hazos in life has to be, the first thing is, I'm going to the shir. I don't care no matter what. I'm going to the shir. The shir is this time, this day. I'm going to learn. I have a chavrusa. This is priority one. Now you work backwards. I'll get home. I'll get a ride. I'll get a way back. I'll eat lunch later. I'll get lunch before. In order, it's not like when it comes to worldly matters. When it comes to worldly matters, you can first plan the logistics and then you can figure out how it all fits in. But when it comes to spiritual matters, especially when it comes to Talmud Torah, the Yetzirah is so great, you'll never succeed unless you start out, I'm doing it no matter what, and everything else will fit by brute force. We'll make it work. I think it's a powerful, powerful Yisus. It's not my part. I saw this. I remember where I saw this. I don't remember. In this week's parasha, I didn't see Shuli Pinchas. I went to all the stuff. Not every week do I have to say from Shuli Pinchas. Not every week from Vayomer Elio, but we try. Okay, let's go to another short vart of. It's a very frightening thing that in Parsha Svayelach, we have the pasuk V'Anochi Haster Ponai Bayom Ahu. Now the pasuk really concludes with something frightening, of the Omar of Bayom Ahu with reference al kol horo'o asher osa kifana el machidim. This is the pasuk that tells us about Purim. Esther min hatara minayin. How do we know this Esther? Esther haster astir. So these words are similar to Esther. Same shersh, same letters. So this is a reference to Esther Hamalka. And it's more than just Esther Hamalka. It's a reference to the times. Hester, there was never a time in the history of the world where there was such great Hester upon him when it was allowed for Haman to plan Lahashmiru Laharagulabidas Kolayudiminarviadzakin. It was a very frightening time in history. It's not a coincidence that we read this pasuk right before Rosh Hashanah. Because Rosh Hashanah, we fool ourselves in thinking everything is fine and good, everything is okay. We don't realize that in Rosh Hashanah, Sifrei Chayim, Sifrei Meisim Apsuchim. The whole world is standing still. And you would never know. You walk in the street, look out the window, there are cars going back and forth. There are people who are completely oblivious to what's taking place, that today is the Yom HaDin. Just like in the time of Purim, things happened. Every little thing that happened was only revealed later on. That every single thing happened was done with incredible hashkacha to bring about a final result. We, by hashkacha pratis, are reminded of this pasuk erev Rosh Hashanah. Every time it says the word hayoim, it's a reference to Rosh Hashanah. Okay, it's not exactly the same word hayom, but it's similar. The Anochi, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I haster astir ponai bayoim hahu. And when we read this pasuk, don't read the end of the pasuk, just read this expression, it's definitely a message. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is giving us, don't be fooled by the serenity that the world finds itself by Yom Ahu. It's the Yom HaDin. Sifrei Chayim, Sifrei Meisim Suchim. The whole world should shake, and in Shemayim they are shaking, and we should recognize that everything that's going to happen this year is only because it was decided on Rosh Hashanah, and if we take that seriously, it will definitely have an effect upon us. Okay, another reference to Rosh Hashanah is the beginning of the parasha. The parasha begins, and Moshe Rabbeinu says, "Hayoim, I am 120 years today." It was the birthday of Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu died on the day that he was born. Parshas Nitzavim begins with Moshe telling them, Parshas Vayelech, Vayelech Moshe Vayimalem ben Meya v'yasrim shana onochi hayoim. Again, we have a halacha. Every time it says hayoim, it is a reference to Rosh Hashanah. What happened on the day that Moshe Rabbeinu was born? When Moshe Rabbeinu was born, the pasuk says, Vayar, he saw Kitoiv. Let me go back to Parashas Shemos. Parashas Shemos begins, Vatere oso Kitovu. When Moshe Rabbeinu was born, Vatere oso, they saw Kitovu, he was born. And what does it mean, Kitovu? So the Medrash says he was born Mohol, but that's not what Rashi says. Rashi says, Nismale kol habayis oira. When Moshe Rabbeinu was born, the entire bayis was filled with or was filled with light. Moshe Rabbeinu over here is telling us that today is that day as well. Today is his birthday, and on a person's birthday, that birthday, the same thing which came with his birth is also coming at this moment in time. It is a time of Atero so ki tovhu. It's a time of tov. Hayom is also a reference to Rosh Hashanah. What is the connection between Rosh Hashanah and Kitov? So this is a vart. I'm sure I told this to you last year, but just to repeat, because I enjoy this very much. When we blow shofar, what are we blowing? What sound are we blowing? Every sound in this world has to fit into one of the 22 letters of the Aleph Beis. When you blow shofar, what sound is it? So go to Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch, when they describe the sound, is tu, tu, utu, tu, utu, tu, tu, tu. When the Shulchan Aruch attempts to depict the sound of the shofar, it's spelled tes, vav, tes, tut. It's a Ferish of Gemara. The Gemara Moed Katan. Hadn't the Gemara that long ago? Moed Katan talks about that when they put a person in Cherim, they blew a shofar. And when the... What? When the... Tess, not tough. Tess. It's Ferish of Gemara, it's Ferish of Shulchan Aruch. Tut. Tess, not tough. Not tough tests. When they put a person in Cherim, they would blow a shofar. And then when they would release him from the Cherim, they would blow a shofar. And the Gemara says, tut. With a tut, they excommunicated him. And with a tut, they released him. And the tut, the way tut is spelled in the Gemara, is tes vav tes. It's in Moed Kadah, I forgot what daf. Daf ches maybe? What do we learn from this? When you blow a shofar, you are blowing the letter Tess. Shofar is a form of prayer. It's a form of tefillah. What are you being mispalel to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? You're being mispalel with the letter Tess. Every letter, the first time the letter appears in the Torah, is where we learn the essence of that letter. Where do we have the first letter Tess in the Torah? Bayar Lekim Esor Ki Tov. So when we blow the shofar, what are we really blowing? Tof. We're asking for good. So question, what is tof? What is tof? What tof is all relevant in the context and the chanami. So in the context of the first time it says the word tof in the Torah is where tof is defined in its purest essence. In that context, what is tof? Tof is Vayar Lekim Esor Ki Tof. Or is Kitov. When Moshe was born, Nismale Kolabayis Oira.
That was the Or
HaGonos. That was put away, the Or HaGonos. Moshe is giving us a message. I'm standing here before you, Hayoim, on this day. I'm bringing here with you, Hayoim, on this day that I speak to you. And this Hayoim also refers to Rosh Hashanah, the day of my birth. And the day of my birth, Vatar, Vatera, Osoki, Toifu, the Nismala Kol Habayis Oira. The message is on Rosh Hashanah, when you blow the shofar, you're being mispalel for Toif. You mispalel for the Or HaGonos, you mispalel for Tov. And Tov is a very broad term. It includes many different concepts. There are many different things which is Tov. And this also explains why we have a concept called a Tekiah Gedola. Because what is Tekiah Gedola? After the Bria was over, Vayar Lekim Eskol Asher Asa V'hine Tov Me'od. Very good. An extent that Tekiah Gedola is in the category of a Tov Me'od. There's a regular Tekiah. A regular Tekiah is Tov. But a Tekiah Gedola means when everything concludes, then you want to summarize, just like Kadosh Baruch Hu, he summarized the entire interaction of Maaseh Bereishit with the term of Tov Me'od. That's what we want to do at the end of the Tekiah, to say, to be Mespalel, that it should be a year that is Tov Me'od. Okay, with that, we will conclude.